Stay calm, don't panic. You got this.
Hey guys, this is Carly Duke and I'm sitting here with Chris Roby. And welcome back to the Don't Panic podcast. We are on episode 4 of season 3. And today we are talking about relationships and increasing connection, especially with teenagers. And so we're really excited to have Beverly Ross back. She was one of my very favorite interviews from season 1. And once again, she brings the heat. She knows how to talk and you can tell that she's passionate about these topics. And so I'm excited for you to get to hear what she has to say today.
And Beverly is a huge supporter of Teen Life, our organization. Beverly's in a town called Decatur, which is kind of outside of Fort Worth, in this really unique small town that has all these little small towns around it. Mm-hmm. And she just has this fire and passion for mental health and for counseling and for helping families that are grieving. A lot comes from her own story, and she shares a little bit about that in this interview. We've been connected with Beverly for almost as long as I've been around with Teen Life, and it's been a consistent blessing to have her in our lives and have her support. And so to do this interview was a real honor to drive up to her office and sit in the same conference room we had our second training. We always remember how awesome that was. Beverly, her expertise really comes, she works a lot with Brené Brown work, which she actually starts this interview with, and has some great, matter of fact, the content she brings in this is some content she developed for public schools as she was a teacher and school counselor, and as she would train school staff on how to best connect with students. So this is some of the work that she did with that.
Exactly. So she's going to go through 5 ways that we can increase our connections. She uses all A words, so it's very neat and tidy.
We like that.
Exactly. And so we hope you enjoy this interview and that you walk away with a nugget on how you can increase your connection with a teenager.
There is a long-standing myth out there that teenagers don't want adults in their lives. For many adults, the changing social and emotional needs of an adolescent can be misinterpreted as rejection or, at the very least, indifference towards their relationships. A recent Gallup youth poll revealed that 78% of teenagers had at least one other trusted adult in their lives other than their parents. In other words, when things get confusing or difficult, they naturally seek out healthy adults. As helpers of teenagers, we have our work cut out for us when sought out by a teenager. In my interview with Beverly Ross, we talked through the 5 A's of connection that can lead us to relationships more beneficial for our students.
All right, so we're here with Beverly Ross at Wise Christian Counseling Center in Decatur, Texas. Thanks for being back with us, Beverly.
Oh, it's always my blessing to do anything with Teen Life. Oh. I love the ministry that you guys provide. I love getting to see the product that you produce through the children, through the groups that you offer in schools. You're able to do things the rest of us dream about being able to do going into schools. So
thank you so much.
Very proud of you.
Well, it's really cool to be connected with you guys for as long as I've been on staff at Teen Life, I've been somewhat connected with you guys. Mm-hmm. And we even got to come to your fundraising dinner last month. Is it last month?
March 28th.
That was a crazy day for us. We did our first national training that day.
Oh, wow.
And then came up to that. It was just a really cool day.
I'm so grateful. Thank you.
But it had been a couple of years since I've been, and this huge crowd and great night. And of course, you spoke, which is always such a blessing. But you had this great quote from Brené Brown that I know impacted me. And as we were prepping for this, you had mentioned this quote. I'm like, yes, I remember that quote. That felt like really framed what you guys do here at Wise County Christian Counseling, and also really framed our conversation today. So let's start talking about that.
Oh, first of all, I'm so happy that you remember the quote. Uh-huh. I love Brené Brown's work, period. Uh-huh. But this quote is my favorite. Mm-hmm. I think because it resonated in my own soul. And it says this: love and belonging are the irreducible needs of every man, woman, and child. Love and belonging are the irreducible needs of every man, woman, and child. Dr. Brown says, without love and belonging, there is always pain and suffering. But with love and belonging, there is always sacred space. And that is what we try to do here. We want to hold sacred space. But then she goes on to tell the story of working with a teenage boy who said this, "Miss, it's always hard when I don't fit in at school. But it's even worse when I don't fit in at home." And Dr. Brown was struck by that quote of this kid's, because fitting in and belonging are not the same. They might sound like the same, but they're not. When we're trying to fit in, it's when we're camouflaging pieces of ourselves to make another person like us. Mm-hmm. But belonging is when we know our hearts are at home. And what we want to be about is we want to be about promoting. How can we help our people feel like they absolutely belong in our presence, but especially in our homes?
Right. So a lot of this falls on parents. Mm-hmm. And it seems like, at least anecdotally, if you work in systems that work with parents, it sometimes seems like parents increasingly don't care. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true, mm-hmm. But that's at least what that's what goes around. But I know as a parent, I deeply care.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think a lot of parents care. So talk about that a little bit, about parents' involvement in this, bringing love and belonging to their students.
Oh, I love that question, because I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I hear talk on the street as parents today just don't care. And I mm-hmm. can't tell you how much I agree with that. I just want to say false every time I hear it. Not true every time I hear it, because I believe parents care deeply. If you're listening to this podcast today, it's because you care about your student. You care about your children. We care. But the issue I found as a parent, and that I know other people experience as a parent, is that they don't know how to show they care. Mm-hmm. We don't know what to do. Maybe because our own parents didn't do a great job at it. Maybe because they did the very best they knew how to do, which is true. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to be about, is educating people. How can you show you care? How can you allow what you do speak the language of your heart?
Mm-hmm. So with this love and belonging being such a, and I love that it's so simple, just that, mm-hmm. you know, love and belonging are the two.
Absolutely.
What's the word? The two irrefutable.
Irreducible needs.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Irreducible needs. So we've got five ways we want to talk through.
Okay.
Of ways that we as parents, or we as helpers in the life of a student, can increase our connections, things that are within our power, things that we can do, mm-hmm. That will make our relationships better, make students feel more connected, feel that love and belonging. So I want to start with the first one is attention.
Yeah, this right? one's hard.
Okay.
It's so hard. It's so hard for me, as I have little grandchildren now. Well, not so little. I have a 17-year-old granddaughter, and then some younger than her. But the first part of attention, of course, and the obvious one, is just eye contact. Mm-hmm. Spending time looking, being present. Being present, but part of that is the whole use of cell phones today. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm with my granddaughter frequently, and I'm like, put your phone up. And I can get on a real hobby with that until I pass a mirror and realize I'm holding mine too. Mm-hmm. And I believe that we as parents have to model, you are worthy. You have value, and I want to give you my attention. You are more important to me than anything else I'm working on. Mm-hmm. I want to be with you. I want to model that. If you need something, I'm in. And mm-hmm. we say that with our eyes. You know, back when my own children, we didn't have cell phones then, back with my own children calling me when they went to college or whatever, I had this certain, almost a grunt noise I would do for the phone. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And all three of my kids were like, Mom, what else are you doing? I know you're doing something else. They could even see they didn't have my eyes or my attention mm-hmm. across the miles. And so I do believe that being present is something we've got to figure out as a world how to hold space with.
And it seems like knowing as a parent what that is, that mm-hmm, or yes, whatever that is.
Yes.
And I think also not being really frustrated when you're called out on it.
That's right.
So I know whenever right. I'm called out, I'm like, I get kind of mad about that, but this is maybe because it's so true, you mm-hmm. know, but yeah.
If that's our value, if my value, if what fuels my heart is to make my children feel important, then I will be more okay with them calling me out on when I'm not. Because if that's my value, I want to use that as my touchstone to return to. Mm-hmm. And I love that my children would have the voice to tell me that.
Right.
And they assume that that is abnormal. If that's the normal, we don't hear it as much.
I see.
The abnormal, they have voice to say, Mom, be with me. And I love that they were.
I love that. So we are showing attention as a huge part of connection.
That's right.
Next is appreciation.
Yeah. I do not believe that we can understate today, and we may do a podcast sometime all by itself, of gratitude. Mm-hmm. I believe that we show value when we are grateful for what we do. And I am a proponent in my own counseling office of there should be more a voice of gratitude in my home than a voice of correction in my home. If somebody tells me I'm good at something, I'm much more likely to repeat it than I am going to follow when they tell me I'm not good. I believe the best part of teaching is when we show appreciation and gratitude for job well done. It makes our children want to repeat what we tell them they're good at. And so I love that. I believe gratitude is a spiritual discipline. I don't believe it comes easily for any of us. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw in one little piece here. I also believe that gratitude is the opposite of anxiety. And homes that have appreciation and gratitude are less likely to be in anxiety.
Hmm.
Those anxious homes of nothing's ever enough and let's hurry and do this. But rather when we show up with gratitude, it's a more sacred space.
So what would be, because I know as a parent, it's a fog sometimes. We're things are crazy, especially with when you have lots of, you know, little ones around and. Mm-hmm. And I know for the parents that I know who have teenagers, it's not much different. Mm-hmm. If you feel like you find yourself in a place where we're more critical of each other, we're not necessarily in a place of gratitude. What's a place to start on that for a family where they're going to, like, we're going to be start being more grateful? I mean, I know that's a big question to ask, but just
no.
You know, what's a good starting point for someone?
I am on fire with that question, mm-hmm. because I do believe we've got to practice it. Mm-hmm. I think it's got to be a practice, something done. And so I think we set aside times. This should be done at family dinner. I don't believe the table should ever be a place of correction, mm-hmm. but I think it needs to be, I love the way you, or I like the way you, and it happens like that. Or car rides. Mm-hmm. It's just, I'm going to the store, come jump in the car with me, and I want to tell you some things I'm grateful for when we get there. I don't believe gratitude ever, ever, ever happens on accident. Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever go to bed at night and go, whoa, I had more gratitude today than I thought I did.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it is always done with intention of, this is my heart. Now, what I found here is the more anxious and corrective I am with my people, the meaner I'm being to myself. Mm. And so I believe that I have to show up with the spiritual discipline of gratitude just in my own life and in my personal time, mm-hmm. of stillness before I can do it fully with another person, even if that's my child.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to be kinder to myself and gentler with myself and less corrective with me.
Mm-hmm.
When it's something hard, instead of going, why did you do that? Why did you say that? Just, I'm so proud. I'm grateful that I was brave enough to even have that conversation.
Right.
And so I think that's good with our children, too. I'm grateful that you were able to do that.
All right. So attention, appreciation, or showing gratitude. Next is affection.
Yeah,
I love all these A words. Yeah, so affection. Uh-huh. So talk a little bit about affection. What does that mean as we try to have deeper connections with our teenagers?
Well, in this context, I know there's a lot of ways to show affection. And when I'm doing marriage counseling, I do it other ways than touch. But right here with these five, I want to specifically address touch. About the time that my children got to middle school was when, and if you could see me do this right now, I'm doing the shoulder shrug. Mm-hmm. It's when I would go to touch them and they were like, not in front of my friends. No, not right now. And that is my signal. I need to change the way I touch them. Because we do not ever as people stop craving touch. And I want them to know that they are valued. I've got to throw this in right here, Chris. Mm-hmm. I've got to throw this in. When you look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the stories about Jesus, Jesus could have healed with a blink of his eye. Jesus healed with spoken word, but didn't even have to do that. But in almost every miracle, Jesus touched them. And it's not because the physical healing was in his touch. It's because the emotional healing found through the value of Jesus touching them. Mm-hmm. That's what he wanted to do. And I believe it means we've got to get creative as parents about the way we touch. Mm-hmm. I mean, my boys were athletes, so they shaved their heads. And so just walking by and touching the top of their head. Mm-hmm. But when we touch, it just shows that I value you. Mm-hmm. That's why we hold hands when we pray. Mm-hmm. It's why as young, when you're falling in love with someone, you touch, you hold hands, we put our arms around each other. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it has, I think we've got to get creative about the ways we touch our children, mm-hmm. but they need to still feel touch. There's been some research found, and I cannot remember who did it to quote it, but there's been some research on children acting out more sexually when parents stop touching them about at middle school. They do not stop craving touch. And I love that. In my own world with my own children, I remember having the conversation. And while I've told you, I was trying to figure this stuff out too, raising kids. So I was not above being seen a little bit as a manipulative mom. But if it worked, why not? Mm-hmm. But I remember having the conversation with my three children as they were going into teenagers that I really wanted to be a good mother to them. That was my heart value. I wanted to be known as a good mom. And I said, in order for me to feel like I'm being a good mom, it means I need hugs. Now, when I feel like I'm a good mom, it makes me say yes to more things. And from that point forward, I've never had trouble with my children hugging on me.
Well even done.
Now they're in their 30s and they're still hugging their mother.
Yeah, yeah.
They want me to say yes. But I love that. It's showing value. It's showing connection.
Mm-hmm. Everyone gets what they want.
That's right. That's right.
All right. So we have attention, appreciation, affection. Two more of these A words. Okay. Affirmation.
Yep. Affirmation, I'm going to use here in a different context than appreciation, although I think they can look the same. Mm-hmm. To me, appreciation is for job well done. Affirmation is more about character. Mm-hmm. It's more when I see them moving in the direction I want them to move. It's speaking into them who they can be. It's speaking into them. I am affirming that I see you becoming a good man. I see you becoming a woman after God's own heart. Mm-hmm. I'm affirming what I see in my children. Again, void of correction here. Mm-hmm. I mean, affirmation is clean. Once with a kid, that's not true. With anybody. I think adults are like this too. Mm-hmm. If I affirm you and then I throw in a but you, then the affirmation is totally thrown out. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I affirm, I love when I see you sharing with your brother. Mm-hmm. Thank you for doing that. Mm-hmm. I affirm that you are a sharer. Mm-hmm. I think it's, I love affirming in them character. We want to see good character, and we want to let them know. Sometimes I hear parents say, that's what I expect. If it's what you expect, give voice to it. Mm-hmm. Give voice to how much you like it. Mm-hmm. Give voice to you seeing them on the path that you believe that they're called to be on.
Right. So you don't assume that they know what you expect.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And that you noticed it, mm-hmm. that you saw it. Mm-hmm. They're much more likely when we affirm. And I guess I'm really passionate about this one because my own love language is words of affirmation.
Right, okay, so there you go.
I like this
one.
Well,
I think it would be easy because, I keep going back to my own experience. And, you know, when you start talking about parenting, you're like, oh, all the ways you stink, you know. But
I know.
It's really hard. But I also think about oftentimes I will communicate my expectations to my kids when they're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
when they did not meet the expectation.
Right.
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 And so instead of, you know, the other way around where when I'm seeing it in action, okay, there we go.
That's
make
right.
sure you see that. Because it doesn't seem like it really sticks.
That's right.
Whenever I'm talking about, you know, I expect you to act differently when you're in trouble because you didn't do it.
Yep.
Yeah. So
I want to say one more thing about that because this is an important piece there. I believe when we are correcting our children, I think it's a really cool move to let them know that wasn't the real them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you did not share right then. And I know the real you.
Mm-hmm.
You, the one I used to use is, you didn't tell the truth. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't make you a liar. The right. real you wants to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I expect that from you the next time.
Yep. Gotcha. Love it. Okay. So last one of our A's, we have attention, appreciation, affection, affirmation, and finally, acceptance.
Absolutely. I think this one is huge when you talk about love and belonging. I don't believe our children I don't believe our people, I don't believe our friends, our spouses should just feel my acceptance when they're doing what I want them to do. I believe that we learn to walk arm in arm beside each other with flaws. Mm-hmm. We're all flawed. And I think we show acceptance even with the flaws. Now, to me, what acceptance is, going back to Dr. Brown's language, is she says there's a very real difference between guilt and shame. Guilt is when I know I did something bad. Shame is when I start to believe I am bad. Hmm. And guilt is from the powers of light. With hope, I can do it better. Shame, in my opinion, is from the powers of darkness, and it believes it's void of hope. It's who I am. How can I possibly do it better? Mm-hmm. And so I believe acceptance will have guilt. The only people that don't experience guilt are sociopaths. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we want our children to experience guilt because we do. Mm-hmm. We don't want them to become freeze-framed there. We want them to be able to move through it. So it's not going to be where there's constant shame. But we accept them. We let them have an opinion different than ours, mm-hmm. Which can be so hard mm-hmm. when it's an opinion we hold fast to. But sometimes what children want is just to share their own voice. And when they know we accept their voice, if it's a different political opinion or a different opinion about the way they spend $5, you know, it's showing up, showing acceptance of, I want to hear your thoughts. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your heart. And I believe that part of the acceptance piece has to be that in our homes, there's a flow of forgiveness. Hmm. That even when our children do something wrong, that we look at them and say, I will never mention this again. You're forgiven. Well, I taught first grade for 12 years. And part of the thing I taught my parents then is in my room, every child starts on green every morning. That mm-hmm. means they're back in the good zone mm-hmm. every morning. And I believe that just like we teach and talk the scripture of God's mercies are new every morning, mm-hmm. that in our home, mercies need to be new every morning. Mm-hmm. And so every kid gets a fresh start. We accept you. We love you. We're with you. We're on your team. We're family.
So, Chris, I absolutely loved this interview and everything that she pulled out. All of her A words were awesome.
Another A word.
There we go. Mm-hmm. And but especially just some of the nuggets that she pulled into how we can make our home sacred space, especially, mm-hmm. and how we can protect those relationships and connect. One of the things that I love that she said is we care, but we don't always know how to show that we care. Mm-hmm. And so through eye contact, through putting down the phone, through actually engaging mm-hmm. with teenagers shows that. And I think it's easy because teenagers always have a phone in their hand for us to think, oh, they don't care. They do the same thing too, but they learned that from someone and it right. might have been from you.
Right, right. And she, you know, when we were preparing for this interview, that was something she seemed to be really passionate about, was that there's a kind of a narrative that's developed that parents just don't care. And I know some, you know, I've got kids in school and I know that they are always looking for parent support. And I think in public schools, that narrative can grow that, you know, more and more and more parents are disengaged and parents don't really care. And I love how she, steps up and says, no, that really can't be true. It's just sometimes we don't, you know, sometimes parents are overwhelmed, mm-hmm. have so many things on their plate, or they just generally don't know what to do. And especially as their child becomes a teenager, that is amplified because now it's not your little kid anymore. Now it's this person who thinks for themselves and has their own wants and desires and right. the ability to act on that. And so what are some ways that we can connect? And so these five A's really get to that. The heart of that. One of the ones I thought she talked about that was really fascinating to me is the affection piece mm. about the physical touch, how important that is. And that almost seems counterintuitive because as a, you know, it seems, well, why would a teenager want you to touch them? Aren't they pulling away? But finding ways to show physical affection with your kid. She talked about with her sons who would shave their heads for football and she would go rub them on top of the head, mm-hmm. How important that was. But just figuring out a way you can, you know, I know as a father of a little kid, like how much my kids need that. but how important that is to have that physical touch.
Exactly. I also loved her point on appreciation and showing the importance of showing gratitude instead of correction. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so easy for us to correct, but she kept saying, if it, you see something you like, you need to give voice to that. Mm-hmm. And there should be gratitude of children and teenagers especially are going to repeat something if they get praised for it. Mm-hmm. And so instead of always pointing out and talking about the things that they do wrong and saying you should have done this, look for the things they do right mm-hmm. and praise that. And that's so much more effective than complaining or telling them. And you get teenagers that'll roll their eyes. But if you really focus on that gratitude piece, mm-hmm. how different would our homes be? Yeah. How different would your life as a teenager have been if your parents pointed out all the good things all the time? Mm-hmm. That would have been awesome.
Right, right. And, you know, with the affirmations you talked about, which sounds so similar to the appreciation, she talked about how as parents, we all have a vision for what we want our kids to be. And we know them and we're like, we know what they have. And the affirmation piece is when we get to point out the things that they do that are contributing to that. Mm-hmm. Like, so if I see my son as, you know, I see that you're a leader and you're an influencer, and then he does something that either leads or influences people, I can say, hey, you know, that's who I think you are. And you just did some things that really showed that, mm-hmm. you know, that builds into their character, builds into who as a parent we know them to be and who they're capable of being. Takes that appreciation piece like to a whole nother level.
Exactly. And I love too that she pointed out that you can completely negate probably both of them with the word but. Mm-hmm. When you say, I saw this, but mm-hmm. that completely throws out everything that right. you were going to say, every positive thing. And so I think that's something we need to catch and watch. But it really is so important to point out the character things that you see and not just the, hey, thanks for taking out the trash. That's great. Mm-hmm. But when you can really pour into, here's who you are, here's who I see you becoming, and you're doing a great job, that's powerful.
Right. Finally, she talks about acceptance. This is probably, with all this connection stuff, one of the harder things to wrap our minds around, especially depending on your, I guess, your sense of morality or spirituality or, you know, your expectations. Sometimes those won't be met by your student. They might choose a different path than maybe you would have chosen for them. And as a parent, the choice that you have to make, what do I do in this situation if my kid doesn't really, you know, turn out the way I thought they would? Or, you know, being able to have the perspective of this is a step in their journey as adolescents and to find ways as parents to communicate both. I'm not cool with this, but also that, I accept you and love you and, mm-hmm. you know, that won't change. There's really nothing you can do on that end. You can't change how much I love and accept you for who you are. I think this is the one that I think we could do several podcasts on this idea of acceptance. Yeah. I think that's probably one of the hardest ones as I was listening through what she had to say.
Mm-hmm. But I think she made some great points. And everything that she said, her whole list, I was just sitting there listening going, yes, yes, that helps with connection. Mm-hmm. And so she gives some great tips and some great principles for how to connect and how to not just connect on I think we talked about the check-in, which is important, but I think this takes us even deeper of mm-hmm. how do we connect on a relational, on a soul level mm-hmm. That is so important for our teenagers.
In our support groups, this is week number 4. And we do the circle activity where they line out their relationships. But we also, as part of that week, we give them a chance to ask any question that they want. And so we give them note cards, and our group will, every student who wants to, will write down a question about life. It could be a question about God, spirituality. It could be a question about, you know, relationship. And we asked them not to write their name on it, just to write the question and then fold it up and bring it to the group leader. And as a group, we get to address the questions. Mm-hmm. And the questions that come out of these groups are just, some of them are gut-wrenching because you know that they've been dying to ask someone this, but they didn't have anyone in the world who would accept them enough to ask that question.
Right.
Right. And they felt judged by this question. And so this week four, we talk about connection. Take it from us who lead these groups with students. Your kids want to be connected to you.
Yes.
And the students who we work with who are in the most pain and dysfunction tend to be the one with the least amount of connection with adults who care about them, who are cut off from their families, mm-hmm. Or cut off from their communities, or cut off from their schools, whatever that looks like. Connection is essential for healthy development. And these five A's, as parents, I think, and youth workers, people who want to help students, I think are crucial for making this happen.
Hey guys, it's Carly here, and I'm with Asia Eadson, and we are going to talk about her group. She's one of our Teen Life facilitators. So Asia, why don't you start by telling us a little bit about your group that you've been leading this year?
I am working in an inner city school with middle school girls that are primarily minority students in a really low income area. So that's who I've been hanging out with on Tuesday mornings.
Great. That's awesome. And what do you see those girls in your group struggling with? Like, kind of what do y'all talk about, or what struggles do you see them having?
So it's really hard to pinpoint one struggle in particular, because so much of the reason they're in group is because the community around them, or the values instilled in them, or the expectations that society has put on them. And so it's more of a struggle against the world, and they're mm-hmm. acting out because all these things in their life are unfair, and that's how they've learned to cope with it. And so a lot of times we spend talking about even anger management, or how to be a good friend to other people, how to tell the people in your life you need them, just because it's not reflected in their culture or in their values. Just because it's not really taught to them anywhere else, we have to go through the basics of how do you be a good friend? How do you support someone else? Why is gossiping dangerous, and why is fighting not a solution? Just kind of basics of life. It's a big struggle.
And how does leading a support group impact your ministry personally?
I think it's amazing that I can drive 10 minutes from my house and be immersed in a completely different world. Like, I'm not going overseas to do ministry. I'm not, you know, fundraising to go change the world or anything. But I drive down I-35 and I'm in a completely different culture. So mm-hmm. these girls, they have a different world than I do. Their parents are different than my parents. The way they speak is different from me. They value things differently than I do. And it has been so rich to see that perspective and understand their world and see the world through their experiences. That has broadened my worldview and given me grace and seeing that my life is not right or the only way of doing things. So it's been really, really important for my worldview, and that changes how I approach ministry.
The Stay Calm, Don't Panic podcast is produced by Teen Life. Your hosts are Chris Roby and Carly Duke. If you want to check out today's notes, resources, and music, please visit our website at don'tpanicpodcast.org, or you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Don't Panic Talk. Now here's a word from our sponsor, Lubbock Christian University.
I'm getting a lot for my money here at LCU.
The value of coming to LCU is priceless. I mean, you get to work around professionals who love you dearly, who love what they're doing, and to put those two together, you can't put a price on it.
I think the most valuable thing about LCU is that I'm receiving an excellent education, but I'm also being spiritually guided through that education.
If a student is on the fence about coming to LCU, this place is one that will change your life forever.
Believe, belong, be blue at Lubbock Christian University.